All right, good morning. I will call to order the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, December 6th, 2016, and ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you and good morning. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address topics on today's agenda. In this case, we're also going to take something that is not on today's agenda because we are fortunate to be joined by Andy McGrill, who is the NFIP specialist for FEMA Region 7. And we got the presentation of our CRS Community Rating System plaque. Andy, come on up.
All right.
Well, thank you. Yeah, have a few words right into the microphone over there.
Very good. Well, thank you for having me today. The reason I'm here is because I am the Community Rating System Coordinator for Region 7 for FEMA. I'm also FEMA National Flood Insurance Program Specialist for the state of Iowa. I'm very proud to be giving you guys this plaque. You guys have achieved a class rating of 7, which means that all your constituents that live in the special flood hazard area are going to receive a 15% discount on their premiums for their flood insurance policies. Those that are not inside the special flood hazard area are going to receive a 5% discount on their premiums. And so through Ann's great work that she's done and all the paperwork that she was able to submit, I'm very proud that you guys are one of 6 in Iowa that are participating in this program, and I'm very proud to honor you with this plaque.
Andy, thank you so much. I think you were right to single out Leanne. I think there's multiple people at the county that put work into getting us through this rating system process, but Leanne is the one who needs to be singled out most, and we're thrilled that through doing this paperwork, we can offer the citizens of Story County, those that live in those special flood zones, a reduction on the insurance they pay. We appreciate you being here today. I think it's a photo opportunity, so the three of us will go down. Andy, you'll stand right here, and we'll do what we got to do. No, you're sitting.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I'm gonna count
to
3. 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. Appreciate you being here today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You got on a good color. Purple.
Hey, I'm a kid better.
I know, right? Two mistakes. Oh, and my competitive color will make us out of five.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And thanks for being here.
Thank you what you did, Leanne. Yeah. It was no small part of your efforts that got us this. So.
You bet. Absolutely.
Is there anyone else who would like to address the board on topics on today's agenda? Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to the next item, and that is discussion of Nevada land development. And Al Kopler is here today. And Al, I don't know if you and Tom and Jim all want to come up. Whoever wants to come up, be perfect. Just pull a chair over there so that you can all sit. And please start by introducing yourself and your relationship to this project.
Yes, my name is Tom Cahill, and I represent Al and Jim Fabert, who have purchased and own now 40 acres on the south boundary of the city of Nevada, in which they are attempting to, the plan was at least, to annex to the city of Nevada. And the city wants to annex. The issue that has been raised here is the fact that there are in place agreements by which the Central Iowa Water Association has control of all the area that borders onto the city of Nevada. and Central Iowa Water has not been willing to release that property, and the city of Nevada has not been willing to annex it if they don't. And there are a variety of reasons for that that have been, I mean, we have spent some time talking to both sides on this and trying to work something out, and has not been fruitful up to now. And basically, the city does not want Central Iowa to hook into the water at that location for a variety of reasons. One, there is the way Central Iowa Water treats their water is different than the way the city of Nevada treats the water, and the two are not compatible. Secondly, under the agreements that are presently in place, Central Iowa has the right to buy water from Nevada, but the only agreement in place as to what they have done so far is a hookup out here clear west of town, and this is property is clear south of town. And so it doesn't seem to us that Central Iowa is going to be willing to run water from west of town all the way around the city to get to this location. And so their only opportunity is to hook on at 11th Street, which they believe they can do, but the city has said there's no way. And the city has their people here today as well, which basically they will tell you, if you ask them, that it's not a compatible system that would they chlorinate the water. So I have come up with this, just the reason I brought this, we got to this point, is this statute that basically says if Central Iowa Water cannot, their facilities cannot accommodate this area, then there is a right to have the supervisors release them. And that's the 357A 16 provision of the code. My understanding that you may have referred this to the county attorney, and I don't know. I have had no discussion with the county attorney.
So Al and I met last week, and Al pointed out this section of code, which I was unfamiliar with prior to seeing it. And so I came back, and we made sure we got an opportunity on the agenda for you guys to come discuss this so that the two other board members can be aware of this. Like I said, I don't know if either of you had heard of this section of code. I had never heard of it. And I did, in fact, refer it on to Jessica Reynolds and ask her to explore exactly what this relates to and what, if any, action the board could take. And this may be an appropriate time, Jessica, to have you report what you found just based on that initial reference.
You can use one of the mics up here, too, if you want. Yes, come on, you.
Just sit down, Jessica. Just sit down.
Well, good morning to the board. Iowa Code Section 357A.16 does allow a property owner to petition the Board of Supervisors for detachment from a rural water district. The petitioner would have the burden of proof, and the Board of Supervisors would consider the elements that are set forth in the code and would determine whether or not the facts meet those requirements and whether or not detachment is appropriate.
What are the requirements set forth in the code, Jessica?
So the board would have to find that the real property cannot economically or adequately be served by the facilities of the rural water district in order to detach that property owner from the district. So that would be a fact-finding matter for the Board of Supervisors.
But are there measurings to determine that? I mean, it's an arbitrary statement. It's one side against another side, the way it appears, in determining whether they economically can basically do that. Now, but if I heard the attorney Cahill's earlier statement, they're talking about they can route around different areas and so forth. And so when it comes to a direct hookup, which is not necessarily compatible to the city's current standards, is there a cost associated with determining which standard has to be met in terms of providing safe water to rural residents and so forth? I mean, this is a great concept. I've never heard of it. I'm just kind of curious. How do you arrive at trying to make that determination?
Well, you'll be the fact finder, and it sounds like those would be good questions for the fact finding hearing.
If I may intercede here, yes. My name is Al Copeland. I'm one of the developers and so forth. It goes one step further than this, and that is a step that, as far as Jim or I are concerned, we don't care who furnishes the water. We don't care if it's a county, or we don't care if it's a city, okay? The contention, the fact that's in contention here is Rural Water, the Rural Water District, does not have the flow to support the fire hydrants. They have the pressure, correct me if I'm wrong back there, gentlemen, they have the pressure to support the fire hydrants. They do not have the water flow to support the fire hydrants. So they would have to get enough water from the city, or the city would have to put in the infrastructure, or we, the developers, would have to put it in and then dedicate it over. But therein lies, I think, the contention that the city would have, they would have a partnership with Central Iowa Rural Water, where Rural Water would be furnishing the water for the homes, but they would not be able to furnish the water for the fire hydrants, okay? Now, if we were staying out in the county, we won't have this problem, okay? But I personally, out of the right south there, I do not want 25 septic systems next to my property. Therein lies the problem that I don't want to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and plow snow. Okay?
Al, I think all fascinating points, and I think those are the kind of things that this body would have to consider if, in fact, a petition is filed by you, the landowners, for us to consider that. Jessica, is there any case law that you could find? Has this item been used anywhere in the state of Iowa to this point?
No, I have done a search for case law, and I haven't found any relevant case law. I found one attorney general's opinion that addresses the issue, but, you know, this is the board in its quasi-judicial role. If a petition like this is filed, you'll be the fact finders, and our office will be there to assist along the way.
Yeah, so this is something that clearly we as a Story County Board of Supervisors have never taken up anything like this. I would tell you my personal stance on this. If you guys file a petition, the board will absolutely deal with and address it. I don't think you should expect anything to happen really, really quickly, because if it's a new look at a law of Iowa, we're going to make sure that every I is dotted, every T is crossed, and we go through it absolutely the right way. It does look to me like, hopefully, there's a little leverage for you to go back and speak with both Central Iowa Rural Water and the City of Nevada and say, hey, can we come to some sort of agreement? If you file a petition with us, we will absolutely deal with it in as timely a manner as we can. But I would fully expect that at this point in the calendar, you're looking at into the first part of 2017 before it gets addressed by this body, and we would go from there. Other thoughts? You can just talk right in front of that little square thing right in front of you and pick you up.
I'm Jim Freer, and I'm one of the members. Actually, the ownership of this property is owned by the South Glend LLC, which we formed with Al Kochler, his wife, and my wife, and myself. So we're the four owners. We bought this land strictly to help Nevada out. I mean, we haven't had a housing area in this area for a long time. And Nevada needs to grow, and if they want to grow, but now we're sitting here with our hands tied.
Yep.
And we're trying our darndest to get something going so that we can start building some houses, and we have people that want to build out there.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't do a darn thing until this is taken care of.
So, Jim, you're 100% right, and I would just add to what you said. Not only are you trying to do something positive for the city of Nevada, something positive for Story County, because
Absolutely.
Story County is short in housing as well. This board in its current makeup is highly supportive, and I would even say aggressively supportive of new housing starts in Story County, and I believe that's going to be true as of January 3rd when we have a new makeup of a board. I don't think anything's going to change with that philosophy. We just got to figure out what our appropriate role is in this and move ahead. And it sounds to me Al brought forward something that none of us, Marty, I don't know if you're aware of it, but I don't believe any of us were aware that there was this provision in the code. And now if you guys want to petition us to consider severing that land from the rights that Central Iowa Rural Water has, we will absolutely take it up. We're just going to follow the process as close as we can by law.
Between the city, what you found out about.
Yeah, just one more thing. Excuse me. The history of this goes back a ways. Actually, back to when DuPont was coming in. Mm-hmm. And obviously, DuPont was in the Central Iowa Water District. And they did not have the ability there to furnish the supply that was going to be necessary for that facility. So there were agreements entered into between the city of Nevada and Central Iowa Water. And one of the terms of the agreement was Central Iowa Water did have the right to buy water from the city of Nevada. But at that time, the agreement was to hook up out at the water plant or between the well and the water plant for the raw water, actually. And for the drinkable water, it was going to be from the water plant. So there is no agreement to be able to hook up anywhere else right now, other than the fact that there is a provision in the agreement that could, if there was, it could be done with the agreement of both parties. Well, obviously, that's not on the table. So the thing about it is that, you know, and I... raise an issue here to this degree, and that is Central Iowa Water, well, I'm sure will argue that they can supply the water, which they can, but the problem is they can't supply the water to the hydrants without hooking onto the city of Nevada, and they'd have to hook it on 11th Street, and that's the issue.
Absolutely, and it sounds to me like the decision that could come before this board, again, if you guys file a petition, we go through the process, is what does that mean economically? Does that fact right there, Tom, preclude the ability to build these homes that we're talking about building, and what kind of economic impact does that have? And I would hesitate for us to go any further than that today,
right,
because that's something that we might have to consider if, in fact, you guys file that petition and we go forward from there.
Well, I wouldn't expect you to do anything other than give us the opportunity to present what we had. There's been no petition filed yet.
So. Right. And it sounds to me like that's, ball is completely in your court. That's the next step in this. If, in fact, you do file it, I'll commit as chair of the board that we will move ahead on it as rapidly as we can. Our reference point, the board, will be to County Attorney Jessica Reynolds to shepherd us through this process so that the board can come to as reasonable and timely a decision as possible.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you,
gentlemen.
Support. Thank you so much. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You know, I'm sorry you had to come back from 82-degree weather for that.
This is important.
It is important for all of Story County, Jim.
Yeah.
Next is consideration of minutes from November 15th and the canvas of November 29th.
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anything to note from those minutes? Chief.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Minutes passed. Personnel actions as listed, board.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Clinton.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions passed. Consent agenda, board, please add road closure 1727 and utility permits 17048 through 17050.
Move to approve the consent agenda with the above aforementioned additions.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Chief.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda passes. Let's see. That takes us to public hearing items. We have two today. First one is second consideration of ordinance number 246, amending certain boundaries of the official zoning map of Story County, and resolution 1740, the C2C future land use map amendment. Emily. Hi, Emily.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Once again, this is the second consideration of the rezoning request presented by Alan McCose. This is a rezoning request of 5.72 acres of a 14.78 acre parcel. There's really two components to this request. One is the rezoning of the portion of the parcel, and then also an amendment to the future land use map in the C2C plan adopted by the county from commercial industrial to the agricultural conservation area. Location, we're located hugged by the city of Nevada, but in unincorporated Story County. The surrounding land use zoning, the property is currently split zoned. It's zoned A1 to the north and the commercial light industrial district in the southern portion. The proposed rezoning is the southern portion highlighted in blue here, and that would be from commercial industrial to the A1 district.
And important to note that Story County just purchased the area in red outside of the highlighted area.
Yes.
That's where animal control is and is now owned by Story County.
That's correct. So here's the area to be rezoned. Once again, it's 5.7 acres of the 14-acre parcel. There is flood zone on this parcel, which is another barrier to actually using the parcel as a commercial, for a commercial use. Background: this is formerly the site of Nevada Brick and Tile Works. As Rick mentioned, the parcel to the southeast was sold to the county back in July for the animal control and shelter building. The applicant is currently using the property as open space and intends to do so into the future. Once again, there is no commercial use on this property. Here's some site photos looking northeast from the south side of Lincoln Way at the property proposed for the rezoning. Here is a couple dwellings also owned by the applicant on the north side of Lincoln Way. Looking south, we see there is the housing development to the south there. And here's the subject property from Lincoln Way. As you can see, it is a natural resource area. So in terms of standards of approval for rezoning, the proposed rezoning shall conform to the Story County Development Plan, or the C2C plan. And we feel that it does align with the land use goals for preserving and protecting physical characteristics of the land, including the floodplains, which we saw are on this property. And then land use goal number 8, which is to ensure that the land use transitions are gradual. And we feel that having this as a natural resource area or rezoning it to the A1 district would better provide that transition between the housing and the agricultural area to the north. So here's a future land use map. As you can see, it's currently designated as a commercial industrial area. There is an overlay of the natural resource area on that property. So the proposed rezoning shall conform to the statement of the A1 district. This does create an open space with natural vegetation as a transition area. And the proposed rezoning shall be compatible with surrounding land uses and development patterns. As I stated before, the northern portion of this property is already zoned A1. The unincorporated area to the north of the subject parcel is zoned A1 as well. And the trees and natural vegetation do continue up north of the subject property. And finally, this is a standard of approval that states that if 50% or more of the property is designated natural resource area, a property shall not be rezoned except if it's rezoned to a more restrictive district. And that is the case here. The A1 district is more restrictive than the commercial light industrial district. For the proposed zoning map change, the northern portion of the property is in the A1 district. And I kind of went through these. The configuration of the parcel would make it difficult to accommodate the commercial light industrial use, given our current setback requirements and the space needed for things like parking, stormwater detention. In terms of the proposed C2C future land use map change, it's currently designated commercial industrial. The majority of the property is a natural resource area, and agricultural conservation area would a designation of the agricultural conservation area would provide greater protection to the natural areas. We did have a few comments from the interagency review. Just primarily, I guess the one they'll point out is that it will be this property will be assessed as excess residential land for 2017. And then Story County Planning and Development had some comments, but primarily about the process that would need to gone through to accommodate this rezoning request. We did receive a few phone calls from the general public, but it was mostly just general questions, and no comments came from those phone calls. So in summary, there will be no change to the use of the property. It will continue to fit within the surrounding land uses, and then the applicant has no interest in conducting a commercial use on this property.
And in fact, this change will make it more likely that long-term this land will continue to be exactly what it is now.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Questions for Emily before we open the public hearing?
No. My question would be for Wayne. What does it mean when you have the term excess private land? I mean, you made a comment where you changed the designation. What? I don't understand that.
Yeah, come on up, Wayne. Wayne Schroederath, County Assessor.
The little one in front of you will pick you up.
Oh, yeah.
We're high tech, don't we?
I haven't been up here to a Wayne Sickler, County Assessor. No, excess land is additional land that would be with the main site that is not, we look at as not, can't be improved to be built on. So it would be assessed at a lesser rate.
Okay.
And because it's basically water and waste ground, it's not going to have a very high value per acre.
And so if we make this change, will that change it at all? So clearly for 2017, that's how it will be assessed. Make this change day one, does it change at all how you would look at it?
Right now, it's probably assessed as a separate parcel is excess because it's been separate. And it'll be added on to where the houses are.
Okay.
And it'll be excess.
But no real change?
Not really.
Okay. Thank you. So at this point, I'll open the public hearing and ask if there's anyone that would like to address either Ordinance 246 or Resolution 1740, both of which deal with this. And if you would, come right on up. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, I will close the public hearing and turn to the board. But before I turn to the board, I'll ask County Attorney Jess Reynolds. Jesse, is there any reason that if this board so shows that it can't waive the third and final reading and make this the final reading?
There would be no reason.
Okay. So we could if we decided to. Okay. With that, I'll turn to the board. Questions, comments, or action?
I don't see any reason why we would not seek to waive the hearing. I think that we have put in the research, and it's naturally, I mean, Wayne obviously just addressed it. Jerry and his department have looked at it in the sense that it is what it is, and at some point, the county might be looking at this as a property that they might be considering because it has what it was on an industrial basis to what it's become is pretty special. If you've not had a chance to get out there and really walk it, you should. It's it right there on the edge of Nevada, and there is wildlife in a way that you would not expect this close to a town.
Yeah, oh, it's a good spot, and part of my reason for asking if we could waive the third and final reading is we passed this for the first time on November 15th. And due to scheduling of the board, we haven't addressed it again. I don't see any reason to prolong this unless you guys feel like there is.
No.
I don't have a problem. So, Marty, you want to put that in the form of a motion?
I would move that we
turn to one and back to waive the second and third reading.
I think you did a fine job. I would second that.
Okay, so let's just make sure we're completely clear. Wayne, I hear you making a motion to adopt Ordinance 246 and to approve Resolution 1740 on second reading and waive the third and final reading. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's the motion. Is that your second?
I have already seconded.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Clinton?
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. So both ordinance 246 and resolution 1740 passed second reading, and we have waived third and final reading. They are now final. Emily, thank you. Good job.
Thank you for what you did. Morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
Next item is second consideration of resolution 1738 vacating South Ridge Street or a portion thereof.
Good morning. Again, this was taken up the first consideration on November 15th by the board. This would be the second consideration. It's a partial vacation, a part of the bulb of South Ridge Road, which is located northwest of the city of Ames. This particular item was a carryover from the 2015 work program for our department, and it was carried over to the current year. The property is owned by Lloyd Harris at 6625 South Ridge. The house that's there was constructed in 2002, and it was built too close to the front property line. There's a 40-foot front yard setback. The house is approximately 30 feet from that front yard setback. If this portion of that road right-of-way is vacated, then the property owners will meet that minimum 40-foot front yard setback requirement. There's also a side issue, which is separate from the issue before you today, and that is the side yard setback. The house is on the common property line. The previous property owner, whose name was Bill Walk, sold a portion, which became known as Parcel C, to Mr. Harris. There were some issues with the legal description on the deed, and so that process and the process that the county went through in 2002 to vacate, and at that time it was the entire bulb, to vacate that to the Harrises. There were issues with the legal, so that process was deemed to be null and void, so that's why we're starting over again. We did sit down at a conceptual review meeting with the departments here in the building September 8th and met with the three affected property owners. They all agreed to what portion of that cul-de-sac bulb should be vacated. This just shows you where we're at. We're northwest of the city of Ames. A little closer view. It's part of Woods subdivision. We're dealing with lot 16. It's on the north end of that cul-de-sac road. Closer view, again, at 6625 South Ridge. Again, it's a front yard setback issue. The secondary issue is the side yard setback. The property owner is going through the process of correcting the deed for that, what is known as Parcel C, to get that squared away as well. So this is what it would look like. Again, the yellow portion shows you what is being vacated to the Harrises, and again, this was agreed upon by the three adjoining property owners. The lot C is a little under 2 acres. Parcel C is 0.13 acres, and the right-of-way to be vacated is 0.08, so the total would be a little over 2 acres. We're into the site photos. It's a gravel street. We're looking to the north. This is the southwest corner, the Swan family, 5677 Swing Street, South Swing. On the east side of the road is 6600 South Ridge. This is the Crow family property. And then, of course, the Harris property on the north end, 6625 South Ridge. The west side of this street does drop off considerably. There's considerable grade to the west, so it's not really conducive for a turnaround. There is ample space to still negotiate that turnaround if that portion of the right-of-way is vacated. Again, we had a conceptual review on the 8th of September. Assessor's department did suggest that all three parcels be adjoined into one tax parcel. As I mentioned before, the auditor's office was very helpful in providing the history of what occurred previously and also assisted with the legal description. And the engineering division and our department do support this. This will, again, assist with that front yard setback requirement. We have a signed document that was signed October 19th by the three adjoining property owners. We did send notices on October 26th before the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting and November 4th before the Board of Supervisors meeting. We received zero responses from the general public. There was a resolution 17-37 that set the hearing for the previous meeting and this meeting. Mr. Harris is working on the Parcel C legal description. The first consideration of the issue here, resolution 1738, was November 15. And again, if the board approves resolution 17-38, the resolution and the deed and the documentation recorded will make this a complete action. So the points to consider in this is the requested vacation will assist the property owner in meeting the setback requirement. General public will still continue to use the street, and they'll be able to use it for a turnaround. Adjacent property owners will be able to park vehicles on it. We have an agreement, which is nice to have, between the three adjoining property owners. And again, the west portion of that ball is not conducive for construction of a road. So with that, the P&Z did meet November 2. They recommended that the vacation be approved, which is item number 1, to support resolution 17-38. It's administrative item 01-16.
And that is, in fact, the action that this Board of Supervisors took on November 15th in the first reading. And isn't it nice when everybody involved can agree?
It is very nice.
That's one of the great things
to have that happen.
Any questions or comments for Jerry before we open the public hearing?
No.
None.
In that case, we will open the public hearing and ask if there is anyone that would like to address Resolution 1738. Seeing no one move to the microphone, we will close the public hearing, turn to the board for action, and board, same deal. If you choose, we may waive third and final reading just to move this ahead.
I'll give you a shot, sir.
Okay, I would move that we adopt 17. Is it 47 or
38?
38. 38.
Vacating the
street
and waive.
And waive the second reading.
We're doing the second reading. We're going to waive the third reading.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Second.
All right, so we have a motion to approve Resolution 1738 and waive third and final reading, making this action the final action on 1738. Further discussion?
Just to reiterate, you mentioned earlier that every so often you run across these unusual circumstances and trying to clean up, you know, the situation, because as it looked like the driveway in itself and where it's located could be encroaching on another property because of the setbacks and all of those types of things. So what you're basically trying to do is make sure that the ownership has certain parameters to deal with, in conjunction with the surrounding neighbors and so forth. So this has gone through all of the review processes, et cetera, and feels that, you know, as Supervisor Sanders said, having all parties agree, it makes it pretty easy and good to have to move forward.
Yeah, with this vacation and with the Parcel C, with the correct
legal description,
it'll all make this matter go.
This saves us real problems down the road. Probably when, after all of us are long gone and not involved anymore, the next time these properties transfer hands, it really cleans up and makes it much easier. Okay. Anything further?
Nope.
Chief?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Resolution 1738 passes, and third and final reading is waived, making this the final action. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
That's all for public hearing items. We're on to additional items. First one of those is discussion and consideration of contract between IP Pathways and IT for a hardware purchase of $12,083.15, which is not in our budget. And Barb's going to tell us all about it.
Good morning, Board. Barb
Steinbach,
Storytelling IT. We had a... It was a bad thing for IT, but not really a bad thing. We had planned to put this item, and all it is to speed up the storage. It's a disk shelf with faster disk drives. So we planned to put this on our budget for next year, but something wonderful happened when we introduced the document imaging and the TCM product. we were not prepared for how everyone embraced this, and they're just scanning like crazy. And so we've noticed some slowness in the way the NetApp operates. And so we need to move this ahead a year so that we can get the scanning process faster. Sometimes people time out and they complain about a little slowness when they're looking for things. So what this will do is just speed up that process. I have looked and double-checked my budget. I think we can accommodate this. I have a project I'd like to move maybe till next year. We're going to see how it pans out, like May. But I think right now we can accommodate this in this year's budget.
Okay. And even if we couldn't, you're suggesting that this would have been $12,000 that would have been built into next year's budget
that will not be built into
correct.
Next year's budget.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. I'm with you, Barb. I think it's a great problem to have if we're actually getting all of our documents saved online and moving away from this paper-full system that we're in.
Yeah,
questions for Barb?
We have catching up to do, but I'm just surprised how everyone has just adopted. It's like they've been waiting for a long time, and it's finally here.
Appreciate you have the latitude in finding this in your budget and ability to move something that you wouldn't want to do into next year's fiscal. So, good on you.
But it just makes it so much easier at this point in time to look at that. Very good. So, I would move approval of the contract between the Pathway and the Information Technologies at the purchase price of $12,083.15.
I would second that.
We have a motion and a second. Yeah, the only thing I'm going to add, Barb, is... while I agree with Marty that it's great that you've maybe found a way to accommodate this in your existing budget, I would be really, really hesitant if we have a need that's already budgeted for this year, don't let the $12,000 stop you from moving ahead with it this year. It'll be this board's responsibility or in our new incarnation starting in January, responsibility to figure out how to get all these things done.
Noted. Thank you.
Okay. Clint?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Passes. Thanks, Barb.
Thank you, Barb.
You're welcome.
Next item is discussion and consideration of contracts between Story County and Marco for the managed print solutions and buyout of existing contracts. So, to bring us up to speed, we went through a long process, had lots and lots of involvement from a lot of department heads and elected officials in Story County to try to get to the end of having one contract with one company to handle our print solutions. There was lots of great discussion, lots of differing viewpoints. At the end of the day, this board decided that our best bet was to go with Marco to ultimately, I mean not necessarily immediately for everybody, but ultimately handle all of our print solutions. Now we're to the implementation stage of that, and Barb, that's what you're here for today.
Yes. I would like to pass out. We've done a breakdown of what the buyout would be. Marco has submitted the contracts to us, and you have the overreaching main contract there. I have a copy of the individual contracts for the different departments, which we're not going to have you sign those today. Depending on your judgment, these include buyout figures. If we want to separate the buyout from the monthly fee, then these will change, so these will not be the final. And every day as we progress, the buyout gets less and less because we're further into the contract. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to pass out the individual contracts just so you know what they look like. And then on the front is just a breakdown of what the total buyout will be for these.
Okay.
So is the chart that's posted here that lists each of the departments and the dollar figure pretty much what you're referring to there?
Thank you.
Okay. Good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's a little different.
Can I just mention that the auditor is interested in doing looking at this also, and we just haven't had the opportunity to meet, apparently.
Have you been busy here lately?
Elections have taken priority over this project, so I expect in January we'll have more time to discuss with the auditor's office.
Okay. Yeah, so bottom line is there's a $50,000 buyout that either the county can choose to pay all or part of if we choose different departments or offices that we're doing the buyout for, or we can roll build that into the monthly fee. So the decision here is pretty simple. As I see, either we spend $50,000 now plus anybody else who might want to join, because we're hopeful that we're going to get everybody to join. We don't have the sheriff's office in yet. We don't have the auditor's office in yet. The whole goal of this is to get us to one spot. So we can either spend the $50,000 now, which will positively impact future budgets, right? County attorney is a good example. The county attorney has far and away the largest buyout, and that has everything to do with newer contracts. Yeah. But we can either go ahead and pay the buyout and reduce our monthly fee by $1,000 a month, roughly, or we cannot pay the buyout, but then we've got to build in over the next 5 years that extra $1,000 a month. Again, roughly. And so to me, it appears that moving, I'm a big fan of paying as you go. If we're doing this, I'm a big fan of going ahead and paying what our buyout is. You don't go, or you shouldn't go trade in a car and roll over what you owe in that car onto your new car. I know some people do that. I think that's a bad way to do business. I think it's a bad way for the county to do business. But it's a conversation that we just had in passing when we decided to go with Marco. We didn't make any final decision. Correct. Now we're to the point that it's time to truly decide what direction the county's headed.
And this sounds very similar to a decision that we made with the Justice Center and the contract that we had there. That was a cost savings in the long run to the county. So I'm sure that you and perhaps have had opportunities to visit with Lisa, our financial guru, and so forth, in terms of these figures as well as Barb. And so are you bringing forth a recommendation for the board to basically consider the buyout figures as listed here? Is that pretty much what I'm assuming?
I agree with Rick. I don't think that you should take something that you owe and then try to spread it out over 5 years with something new that you're going to owe. Let's get it paid, get it off the books, and move forward, and then that will reduce our operating costs. We don't know what the future is going to hold. If it makes sense now to pay the buyout, if we have the money now, I think it makes sense to do it now. We don't know what the next 5 years are going to be like.
Where do we get these dollars from?
They have to come out of ending fund balance.
Out end balance.
Okay. And I assume just general fund dollars, correct?
Yeah. So you're just now looking at these for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
You getting any snap?
I think.
Melissa, you've looked at this.
Yeah, if we're going to have them talk, we need to have them.
I guess, would you? I would like you to step up, please.
Good morning.
Good morning. You look at these, Alyssa.
Yes, I have.
Do you have any recommendations, guys?
The offices that have that are all three offices are paid out of the general fund. So I think when you're looking at buyouts, you'll want to take into consideration where those contracts are currently placed. I mean, that would be up to working with the auditor or whatever. But I completely agree. We've looked at these numbers. You know, if you split it over the 60 months, you are adding anywhere from $800 to $1,000 a month onto your monthly payments to accommodate this. Each department or office has looked to see if there would be cost savings based on their print counts for that month. I think they've worked with Marco and with Barb to look at that. So anybody that chose to go with them did, even with the lease, the payout of the contracts in there, did see some cost savings over the next 5 years. And if you pay it off up front, there'll be even greater cost savings, or projected cost savings.
And for me, let's just be clear here, because we're not seeing huge cost savings. It's easy. So the example Wayne gave earlier, where we bought out the generator over at Justice Center, that was a little easier because we saw immediate and real cost savings. This one, we're not seeing as much in the cost savings. There's a little bit built in there, but not as much. What this is really about, as I see it, is flexibility going forward. The reality is that the fiscal position of Story County today is really, really solid. we don't know that that's going to be true 3, 4, 5 years from now.
Right.
And would you like to have a little more flexibility with your budgets down the road? That's how I'm viewing this as much as anything. Now, this does not include everything. We just noted this does not include the auditor's office, who I think has real interest in being part of this.
I think it might be about
$5,000.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Correct.
But we don't have all the numbers in here. I don't believe it includes community services.
No, it doesn't. Although Carla is here to listen.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. At this point, it doesn't include the assessor's office at this point, which is a little different one because they're funded from an entirely different model and they got their own levies. And how would we do that? It doesn't include the sheriff's office, who to this point has not indicated interest in being included. And I believe that there's an existing contract, and until that existing contract is up, it would not be appropriate of the board to force something on an office like that. But so there's open-ended conversations. What we're really setting, as much as anything, as I see it, would be the policy of this board of supervisors going forward of do we pay it today or do we pay it tomorrow?
I just wanted to
know. Carl Webb.
Carla Webb with Community Services. Veterans Affairs is also interested, but they would have a contract buyout as well.
Okay.
And if you want to know the amounts of those, it looks like, we do have those figures. It would be roughly $3,900 for those two contracts.
In addition to what we have,
the 50,000 that includes those. That estimate includes those that have already decided to go with Marco.
Right.
There are some that are kind of waiting. They didn't know if this was the right time to go with them because they do have, some of them have fairly new leases.
Right.
So,
right.
You got to weigh that. Does it make sense now? Does it make sense to come onto the contract? A year from now.
Yeah.
So.
And my stance is pretty simple. I believe that we made the right decision when we went with Marco. I think when we compared apples to apples, we saw savings copy by copy. The reality is, as much as we would like to think, Barb, that our previous action, moving to the more digitized system rather than printing, we're going to continue to use paper. We're going to continue to need to be able to print and copy. And I believe getting the county to one contract with one set date is the ultimate goal. Now, we're going to have to piece that together, but it should be where in 5 years from now, instead of signing multiple contracts for multiple different offices and departments, we get to sign one contract with Marco to supply all the printing and copier needs for the county. And that's the way I think we're moving. I would encourage this board to set that as the direction we're moving, and I believe we do that if we say, yes, as departments and offices come on, we are, in fact, going to sign the Marco contract, and we are going to pay the buyout up front in order to get us to a true look of what it's costing us to copy and print.
Can I add something? Just for those who haven't decided to join this initial buyout, Marco is going to have one contract. It's going to be 60 months. So if someone comes in at 2 years into that contract, their pricing will still have to be spread out over the five-year period. So their payments will be a little higher than if they had started at the beginning of the contract initially. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because we're getting to that one date that I'm talking about, right?
Yes, exactly.
Help me with the one statement that you made, Sam, and that is that if we're moving in this direction, there's going to be a cost factor factored in, but yet we may not know exactly what that cost factor will be, even though we're setting a policy that would be our decision to move forward with a buyout as prudent as possible.
Yeah, and in each case, the Board of Supervisors still retains the authority to say yes or no on an individual basis.
Yeah.
But I believe if we move ahead with this, we encourage a group like the Sheriff's Office to move ahead sooner rather than later, and that's got to be our goal here. If we truly see the benefit and we're trying to get to one agreement, one system.
And since they're not a part of the initial agreement, those would actually come before the board at the point in time by which we would approve whatever those dollar expenditures would be.
As would the auditor, would anybody else who chooses to be part of it.
Okay, good. No problem. Mm-hmm.
But this establishes that kind of precedent.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Further thoughts?
So these numbers decline per, on a rolling basis.
Yes.
As you get closer to the end of
on expiration.
The buyout.
Are we?
It's not. I wouldn't say it's significant.
No, and I, that wasn't my point. So we have multiple offices, as you've spoken to here, that aren't here at the table saying that they want to join in. I mean, aren't we really setting ourselves up if we say yes to this and then we're still waiting for the laggards to show up? We're having multiple dates on a renewal basis?
No, because a renewal date will all be compressed to hit at one time regardless of when they come on board. So really the case to be made, and I'm going to continue to use the sheriff on this, the case to be made is it's going to be cheaper for the sheriff's office to come on board sooner rather than later.
Correct. Right. And they just renewed their contract for four devices several months just before we started this process. So they were, their buyout would have been extreme.
To what degree have there been discussions with the sheriff and the other entities regarding this? Have they had an opportunity to comment at all or to be?
Yes, okay. I did talk to the sheriff 2 weeks ago and about other things, but we brought this into the discussion as well. And I mentioned to the sheriff that a lot, his problem, I believe, is a lot of, besides those four that are just under new contract, they own a lot of their devices, so they don't have contracts on them. But I said, well, as those die and we have to retire them, we'll look to Marco for replacements, and he thought that was fine.
Did Marco go through his office to see on a printer need basis?
We did go through their office. People were a little nervous that we were taking things away from them, so we had to, you know, change is hard for people. So we did evaluate. We didn't price anything out.
And I just want to note, when Barb mentioned the, you know, if they come on a year or two from now, just so we're clear, they take that equipment cost. Right now it's split over 60 months. They, if you come on in 3 years, it'd be, you know, that total cost would be split over the final 3 years of the contract. So that's why their equipment costs would go up. They're not going to get the same rate as the county attorney's office that decided to go on board right away. Their monthly cost for the equipment would be higher because it would only be the remainder of the contract.
Right.
So it's only going to split it out for that term.
Sure. What this absolutely establishes, and over the next 5 years, what in fact it does is it sets that the Board of Supervisors is not buying printers or copiers, is not entering into new agreements with other vendors. We, in fact, have a relationship now with Barco. As long as that relationship is solid, and for the 5 years, that's where we're going to be. And so ultimately, it moves us to that one point of contact that I think is so beneficial to so many different entities. I mean, there's a reason that every school system has its own contract. There's a reason that Iowa State and the state of Iowa and places like that have one, and that's what we're finally moving toward, rather than this hodgepodge of we own some, we lease some from this company, and we lease some from that company, and we've got it all spread out across the board, and we're not maximizing what we're getting for what we're spending.
Right.
This doesn't solve that. It just puts us on the road to solving
it. No.
Thoughts, Lord?
No, you make a very compelling argument, and Barb, I appreciate the time and effort that was spent, and also the demonstrations that we had, and I was just mindful, I do know that the assessor's office and so forth, you know, was had some discussions regarding equipment and things that they were basically using, but I think at the end of the where we're trying to go, I think this is obviously the most prudent way for us to begin to deal with the various print solutions that we're dealing with, the copiers and so forth.
So that we're clear, the two of you, your recommendation would be that we do the buyouts up front and we enter into the agreements with Marco on the departments and offices that indicated they want to move ahead. Is that your recommendation as you sit here today?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So move. Make it easier. You got that, Shelly?
I got a little more discussion. I haven't found critical mass on this one yet.
Yep.
So I will let that move.
Just
that will
it.
Fail for the lack of a second. I just.
Well, I'll second.
No.
So
that
we can continue it if you don't want to.
We still have discussion.
So now let's have your discussion.
So we're still chasing down other departments to join us and trying to find that one. I got the overarching desire is to have one provider, one vendor, and that they bring the technology refreshment on a scheduled basis, and we actually have a company that provides a more real-time costing to the county on use, because now we're dealing with a flat fee versus, I mean, actual copies, and the offices have the ability to watch, in fact, what they are spending, and maybe they can adjust their usage moving away from paper. Great model to pursue, encourage it. But we are sitting here talking about who we don't have with us, knowing that we have recently signed contracts that we're still going to have, you know, we don't even have agreement. The fact that the sheriff's office with a recently signed contract will join us anyway.
Yeah, we do, because the Board of Supervisors just signed that contract.
Yeah, okay, well, we do. Yeah. All right. We're still going to, I mean, the dollars that we're spending here, okay, that noted. We're still going to spend more than the $50,000 we're sitting here looking at, correct?
Depends on who joins us. If nobody else joins us, it won't be any more than 50. If the auditor's office joins us, you estimated $5,000. Yes, there would be more, but we would be moving toward that all one. And so, Marty, as I see it, we got a couple simple options here. Either the Board of Supervisors can sit here and mandate, absolutely say, that every office, every department will be part of this group. I believe that we have the authority to do that. But having the authority and doing it sometimes are two different things. We could do that. We could say, well, since we don't have anybody, we're not going to do anything, and we keep going down the road we're on. Or we can take what, in my mind anyway, is the more measured step of saying, let's get this program started. Let's see the light at the end of the tunnel, which in my mind is a five-year process to get us to all to one. It may be sooner than that. It may be the full 5 years to get us all to one. But it ultimately moves us toward this one contract, which is absolutely, comparing apples to apples, cheaper per copy than anything we've seen before. And so I'm just taking this as a measured approach to get us where ultimately we need to be, rather than coming down hard with some kind of mandate that we would absolutely get some pushback from that may or may not be the best decision for Story County. But those are the choices as I see them. I mean, maybe there's another option that I'm not thinking of, and if there is, I'd love to hear it.
Marty, that's more on a personal note. This sounds exactly like something that my son ran into when he took over at Howard University in Washington, D.C., and he looked at the bookstore. All the different departments and so forth were having multiple vendors that they were, you know, doing. And he did an analysis very quickly and looked at, over a short period of time, the amount of cost saving it would have by consolidating that under one single contract and provider. And while I think the biggest thing that we are talking about here is that people get a little comfortable with what they got and what they already know in a certain product or things of this nature. And so I think the process of the time sequence through the five-year period is going to give us and give everyone enough time to recognize the overall efficiencies, because we're really talking about efficiency and economy of scale when it comes to the amount of, and as people are doing more scanning and et cetera. So I think in the long run, it's going to be a good thing for our departments to move in this direction. But like anything else, I think as Supervisor Sanders is saying, we want to be mindful of the fact that we want have a mechanism where everybody is coming on board and working together for the same common goal.
Yeah. And just a little history lesson, I see Jessica pulling up a chair, and I'm excited to get her input on this. A little history of where it's been. So the county's been all over the place on this. In fact, as recently as 4 or 5 years ago, contracts with different vendors were being signed by different departments and elected officials rather than all flowing through the board. The first hurdle we had to overcome was making sure that everybody understood that the only legal entity that with the authority to enter into anything for the county is the Board of Supervisors, which meant that all contracts had to flow through the Board of Supervisors. That was step one. This was Paul II, God love him, this was Paul II's baby. He could not understand why we had all these different printer agreements throughout the building and how we did not get to one consistent theme for the whole county and really push and push on this. But we started there. We started by simply saying everything's got to flow through the board. That was a little hurdle in and of itself, as I recall, a few years ago, just to get that done. Now, in my mind, this is the next step. Jessica.
Jessica Reynolds, Story County Attorney. This reminds me a lot of the effort that the county recently underwent regarding postage machines. It used to be that different departments in the county, including the county attorney's office, had our own postage machines and our own contracts with those postage machines. And as the board dove into that, we all discovered that there would be a cost savings for us using each other's postage machines and getting under one contract. And I know our department canceled our contract and went with the sheriff's office. We just walk our mail down to them now, and we utilize the same postage machine. So I saw this copier endeavor to be similar to that. And I know with our department alone, going with Marco, even with the buyout amount, we're going to save $300 a month. So there's a cost savings that's occurring, in addition to this idea that we're all going to get under one contract and I think have more ability to negotiate as a large entity. And we're also kind of moving to this idea of operating as one entity, which we are one legal entity instead of being siloed in our different departments.
And an important point there, so for the county attorney's office, even with the buyout built in, they would save $300 a month over their existing contract. If you take the buyout out, so the county goes ahead and pays the $38,000 up front, it's an additional almost $700. So now we're up over $1,000 a month that the county attorney would be saving over what they're currently spending for their printing and copying needs.
And I think for, as an elected official, you're incentivizing other elected officials to go with the buyout if you are upfronting the buyout amount and not putting it into our ongoing budget.
And my final comment, Marty, I think it's your question, your concern is very valid, and I think it's important that you have a comfort level in terms of what the goal is and what we're trying to do. So I really do appreciate you asking that question. And again, if it comes down, depending upon whether you're comfortable in voting to move forward or not, I think the question is extremely right on and very targeted, so I appreciate that.
Well, these are the conversations that we need to have. Absolutely, we need to have them. So I'll just ask you said that at the point the motion was made and then I seconded it, there was not enough critical mass with you to get there on this decision. What are you looking for? Does it just not sound good to you, or is there some more information you're looking for?
No, I think the business model that you're attempting to pursue, and it does not surprise me too, would be on S1, and I'm applauding for actually bringing this to the attention. You see other agencies and entities doing the very same kind of technology reviews that, maybe you have redundancies or inefficiencies that you can address. This is one of them. We've done that. We found it, and we're seeking to pursue fixing that. I get that. It is just the fact that you sit there and you look at the listing of who's not with us today, knowing we have other people out there that will be addressing their contracts, gives me pause for the fact that $50,000 is a substantial sum of money. We could do quite a bit with that and anywhere else. I get the savings on an ongoing basis. Thank you for giving me hard numbers, Jessica. That gives me some comfort in the fact that even with that substantial number there, we have the ability to save money immediately. I would feel, at this point, listening to what I've listened to, mulling it over, that I would probably have comfort in supporting this on a going forward basis. So I would accept if you want to renew the motion.
Well, yeah, we're good. We still got the motion. We're just waiting for the vote.
All right. I will give with the. I appreciate when I put the insights for the fact that I find myself as the newest member. I have some experience on a technology endeavor such as this in a few years back, and I know what you're trying to do and what you're seeking to do. I would just wish that everybody were at the starting line together at this point. If I had to boil it down, well, what's your big problem? We don't have everybody here to join us on day one.
Right.
Okay, that said, that is a decision made on an individual department. We offer them the fact that on a going forward basis, this will be a decision you will make within your office. We just wish to get there.
And let's just clarify that. That is a decision you will make within your office or department for now. When the time comes that you either want to buy a printer or copy or renew a contract, now it's a different conversation. That flows through us.
Got it. I understand. Okay, then.
I want to make sure we have the full conversation, though, so you make sure we talk about everything you want to talk about.
I would not have been comfortable where we started it. I have comfort on where we've ended it.
Okay.
I believe we've ended it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And one item, Marty, I think I've seen some maybe to make it more comfortable is that if any of the other offices or departments want to join, they still need to bring it as an item to the board. The board will still look at that buyout amount and make that decision at that board meeting because, you know, when they bring it to you, they need to show you that there is a cost benefit to paying it out up front.
Right.
You know, Jessica said that they're going to save even $300 a month, including it, up to $1,000 a month if you buy it out up front. I mean, you wouldn't want to, you know, if it's a brand new contract and there is no cost savings, buying it out up front, you want to
have... Or if it's costing us money.
Correct.
I mean, not only
correct.
If it's not costing us money, if it's costing us money, well,
money. You want to have that...
Be real hesitant to do it.
Yeah. So you'll make that decision at that whatever board meeting. It's not like you're making that decision today.
And there are, just to be clear, there are only three departments that might be at the beginning of this. That would be the sheriff, the assessor, and emergency management. Now, emergency management owns all of their devices. They have no contracts. So for them, you know, it would be an added expense to enter into a contract. And some of their devices are fairly new. So Keith has expressed an interest to join at some point, but just not right now.
Okay. I think it's just prudent. I think it's just prudent. Anything further?
No.
Clint?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Chitty?
Aye.
It passes.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Leslie.
Good job. Let's see. Next item is discussion and consideration of a request from the City of Maxwell for staff technical assistance. We have a letter here from the City of Maxwell, Story County Board of Supervisors. Dear Supervisors, on October 26th, the Maxwell City Council and representatives from the Collins-Maxwell School District, City of Collins, and interested citizens met in Maxwell to discuss the need to update our various planning documents and urban renewal revitalization documents. The goal would be to mutually assist each other in fostering community and economic development in Southeast Story County and ensure seamless integration with the county's new C2C planning efforts. Goes on from there. At the end of the day, they are requesting that the board provide staff assistance to facilitate those conversations to the end. Leanne Harder, you've been part of that conversation all the way through, including this meeting. Tell us.
Thank you. Good morning. I had an opportunity to start thinking about what the time frame would mean if the board's direction today was to allow myself as County Outreach and Special Projects Manager to help assist the communities of Maxwell and Collins and the school district. What they're asking is help to define the scope of work for their comprehensive planning project, and then further assistance to help apply go through the RFP process, selecting a consultant, whether that's Iowa State or another venue, or even through that discussion, developing an RFP, highlighting skill sets of county staff and Drew Camp as well, see if maybe existing staff, county staff is trained enough that they don't need to go through proposals. So weighing those types of options. I think it would be a 6 to 12 month commitment on part of county staff. It was definitely an idea that this board talked about several years ago for providing technical assistance to our smaller communities through Drew's position, and then at that point the Planning Development Department, a pilot program. So based on your direction today, if you decide to have staff go forward with this, I would add it to my work program, which is actually being presented to you for approval and action next Tuesday, December 13th. So I'm actually very excited about the opportunity to work with the communities. When we went down in October, it was a very diverse group of attendees. Drew, how many? 30 or so were there. It was a very good crowd, and they were very committed to their communities and moving forward. And As you well know, Collins Maxwell School District is facing some changes in opportunities, and having them at the table along with those two communities really will make a solidified effort and continue to build on the C2C plan.
Yeah, and I think it even goes one step further than that. And not only is it would it be helpful to Maxwell and Collins and the school district for us to do this, I think it's in the county's best interest that we participate in this. I think it's exactly one of the items in our contract with the AEDC to provide this technical assistance. I think it is exactly what we had in mind when the board created your position that we would participate in some of these things. I think we want a seat at the table. I think it's completely appropriate that not only are we there, but that we offer the technical expertise that the two of you and others bring to be able to do that. So for me, it goes one step beyond, oh, let's just help them out. It's in the county's best interest that we're part of this. Am I seeing that accurately?
No, and we have a very talented set of committed individuals that work for Story County that have appropriate skill sets to see this through to the very end, from the beginning to the very end, and exactly what you just said.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Questions, comments?
No, these are the conversations you hear out on this side of the county in regards to their hopes and their dreams. And I think they are seeing a path forward, and I think we would be wise to join them and participate. I think Leanne says it very well. My experience has been that we have gifted ourselves as a county and as a board to provide and have resources at the ready to dispatch on behalf of the communities out there. So I expect good things to come out of this.
Wayne, thoughts?
I think he said it all, and Leanne commented right on.
All right, so I don't know that this requires action, but let's go ahead and take action, asking that Leanne add this to the work program, asking that Drew keep it on the radar for the services that the AEDC provides as part of our contract with them. You want to make that motion?
I would move to consider the request from the City of Maxwell for technical staff support from the county and the AEDC.
Second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion.
Done.
Chief.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes.
Thank you, Drew.
Next item is discussion consideration of resolution 1752. This is the Wright Parcel Subdivision.
Is that my
board
on the other side?
Of the
this one?
No, the big one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it has been kind of.
It's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, this request is an application for a residential parcel subdivision located in Section 14 of Palestine Township. The applicants are Matthew and Lisa Wright, who live at 34392 306th Lane near Huxley. So here's the vicinity map. We're directly adjacent to the northern corporate limits of the city of Huxley and Palestine Township. The surrounding land use and zoning, as you can see, the current zoning for this parcel is A1. There is some AR district area surrounding and adjacent to the proposed residential parcel subdivision. Within a quarter mile, there are 20 dwellings located in unincorporated Story County. This doesn't include any of the dwellings within the city of Huxley itself. There are two parcels equal or greater than 35 acres, which would potentially allow us to issue a permit for a single-family dwelling in the A1 district, and 10 dwellings take access off of 306th Lane. Directly to the south, as I said, is the city of Huxley. This property is zoned R1, which is their low-density residential district. Their comp plan does indicate low density residential for this area. The property outside, including the subject property and out of Portgrave, Story County, is not within the urban expansion areas as set forth in the future land use map and the comp plan. So the city of Huxley
really doesn't have any interest in annexing this area at this point. So some adjacent, there are some adjacent subdivisions. The Stoll subdivision directly to the north across 306 Lane and the D&J Acres subdivision. And then also the Country Club view on the other side of Highway 69 and the Sidness First Edition. Here's the current configuration of the parcel. As you can see, there is a dwelling, a single-family dwelling on the west side of the parcel. The current parcel is 3.84 acres. The proposed subdivision would create Lot 1 and 2. Lot 1 would be 2.34 net acres, and Lot 2 would be 1.5 net acres. The single-family dwelling would be located on Lot 1.
What is the trail, the circular trail?
That's not there currently.
Okay.
This is a little bit older. I'm not totally sure.
Okay. I didn't know if they had four-wheelers or what.
That's what I was going to say, probably like that, yeah. So here's the proposed subdivision plat. Once again, the dwelling on proposed Lot 1 and then proposed Lot 2 adjacent to the Highway 69 right-of-way. Here's some site photos, single-family dwelling on proposed Lot 1, proposed Lot 2 to the east there. Here's looking south at proposed Lot 2 from 306 Lane. That 40-acre parcel is in between here and those the dwellings in the background there. Here's looking southeast at U.S. Highway 69. There is quite a wide right-of-way between the highway and the proposed Lot 2. This used to be the Chicago and Northwestern rail line right-of-way. Here's looking at the intersection of Highway 69 and 306 Lane. The dwellings to the north, another dwelling to the north, and looking west along 306 Lane here. This is looking southeast at the subject property, the existing single-family dwelling here, and proposed Lot 2. So the applicable regulations for residential parcel subdivision, there must be an existing dwelling. There are only two development lots can be created. There can be no land set apart for new streets, alleys, parks, open space, school property, or public use. It must lie wholly within the A1 district. Must be frontage for access, and then no variances would be issued for the zoning permit. We had a few comments from the interagency review. Story County Engineering noted there is a current access right next to this Highway 69 right-of-way off of 306 Lane. That would be required to be removed because it is so close to that intersection. But the engineering department will work with the applicant to figure out a new location. The Environmental Health Department noted that the septic system will likely need to be something other than conventional laterals just due to the soil type. But that would be explored upon an application. Lot 2 will be assessed as a buildable lot. And then we had planning and development had a request for the addition of the new accessory structure to be added to the plat. So the city of Huxley was notified of the application, and on November 8th, they passed a resolution 16084 in support of the proposed Wright residential parcel subdivision. Notification letters were mailed to surrounding property owners on November 29th, and we did not receive any comments from the public. So in summary, there's an existing dwelling on proposed Lot 1. One additional residential lot is to be proposed to the east of the existing single-family dwelling. This property is not currently in agricultural production. The request meets the criteria for residential parcel subdivision.
There is frontage of 306th Lane, and the county will require access for this parcel to be from 306th Lane. It's adjacent to the city of Huxley, but not located in the urban expansion area, and the city of Huxley does support this. There are already 10 existing dwellings that take access from 306th Lane, so this this parcel really would fit into the surrounding parcel of land use. So the Story County Planning and Development staff recommend the approval of the Wright Residential Parcel Subdivision Plat as proposed, which is alternative one.
Super, thank you. Looks really straightforward to me. Questions for Emily?
No, none.
Comments? Any of, in lieu of comments, I would sure take a motion.
Wayne?
I would move approval of Resolution 1752, approval of the Wright Residential Parcel Subdivision as presented.
I would second that.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Timmy, nice job.
Very good.
Clinton?
Aye.
Chee?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Resolution 1752 passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Emily.
Next item is departmental report from IT. Barb, just come back up. Barb, go ahead. I'll be right back.
I guess I get my share today.
Yeah.
Good morning, Board.
Mark
Steinbeck, Story County IT, and I'm going to present my quarterly report. Some of it, the first item on my list, the managed print services, I think we're coming to a close on it. We spent a lot of time. It's amazing how something that sounds so simple can be so complicated, and I think we've delved into everything we can, and I think it's a good solution, so I'm excited about the future of that. Also, I wanted to update you on the security assessment. As you know, we did this a couple months ago and got the results, and I would like to meet with the new board, sorry, Wayne, in January, and go over our findings. Some of this information is sensitive, so we have to be careful how much we bring to the public, because it would impact, you know, the security of the county. But overall, the assessor said we are doing a good job, the security assessor, and there are other, there are items we can work on and a lot of policy we need to create. So kind of stay tuned for that. I wanted to talk a little bit about our VoIP system. It seems like we're never done with that. There's always additions and new things that we need to add. We've had a few complaints about the on-hold music, so we have changed that to the holiday theme, and we, when we were with LightEdge, we had the ability to do that ourselves. Now we have to ask Orion to do that for us. So if you put on hold at Story County for the next couple weeks, you will get holiday music, and you would not believe what a big thing that was for people. I was amazed. But anyway, and then some other things we're looking at. We've had a couple requests for wireless phones. This is something that's not real easy to do with a VoIP system, as it requires two separate pieces. It requires the base piece and then the handset, kind of like what you have at home for a wireless phone, portable. But dispatch has found that this would be a great benefit to them because they want to have that phone with them at all times. And then the treasurer has mentioned that sometimes in the way their mail room is set up, it would be nice to have a wireless phone. So we're looking at options there, and you'll see that in our budget. And then also we've been working with the EOC on some solutions for their backup data center. The problem we're running into there, we want to keep the same phone numbers. They have designated a number for each situation, like fire, water, whatever. So we have that set up here, but then to have a backup system with the same capabilities, we can't use the same numbers. So what we're going to have to do is on the back end use a mask. The caller will call the same number, but instead of going here, if we are in a disaster situation, it will go to HSC. So that's going to take a little work, but that's what we're working on now. Other updates, networking. We're still working on the redundant network for the MAPS G Group multi-agency. Everything, the vendor work is done. Everything has been completed. We've got budget for firewall still waiting for... been waiting and waiting and waiting. I finally approached a new vendor to get quotes on our firewalls, and once those are installed, then all ISU is in charge of the networking piece, so all they have to do is just change the configuration and we'll be good to go. So that means that our 911 network will be running on a 10 gig connection instead of a 1 gig. We'll use the current 1 gig connection as a backup. So we're building redundancy into a lot of different areas, which is exciting. The fiber replacement at McFarland, that's been completed. It was kind of ironic. The reason we needed to replace it is because every time it rains, the shop loses connectivity. So wouldn't you know, when we were doing the replacement, it rained and rained and rained and kind of got postponed a few days, but they have not reported any problems since then. So I think that's good. We put in a totally new connection. The other one, it didn't appear that it was in the proper casing, and so moisture had gotten in there. Squirrels are notorious for causing problems in that area. But that's good to go, so that's one thing we'll chalk off our list. We are doing here at the county firewall replacements, and originally we were just going to replace firewalls, the two oldest ones, but now I'm thinking we do have one that's not very old. Let's replace that and use that for our DR firewall, since we're really looking at this COOP COG and what we can do to make sure that we're covered. So Kyle is working on that. We'll be seeing that probably January, February, so you'll be getting messages on a few outages. We do have to have an outage, unfortunately, to do a firewall replacement. Wireless network. So after, when did we introduce this? Was it 3 years ago, Wayne?
Mm-hmm.
About. It's amazing how the usage of that has grown, too. And we're looking at, we have three controllers. Two may get us into next year, one needs to be replaced. So at that time, we're going to redo it entirely, the wireless system. Number one, make it more bandwidth. And number two, we might split out a separate one for, we have so many people don't want to use the guest network, but yet for security, it's better if they do, but it's too slow. So we might add another layer in there that's a little faster to separate that out and then have the guest network be solely for vendors or whoever just walks in the door. I hope this software has been rolled out. It's been successful. I've met with various managers over the last couple weeks and pointed out the new green icon on their desktop and the advantages to them. Update every time something is done to the ticket. They know who is assigned to their ticket. They know what the progress is, and they have information if, you know, this happens again, they can go back and research their old tickets and know what to ask. Sometimes the main problem with a help desk request is you don't know what to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So I really see this as a benefit to helping us provide the service that we need to. Skype, you've probably seen another little icon on your desktop. With the new Microsoft licensing, we have implemented Skype throughout the county. What this gives us is video and messaging ability. But it also, and I know Leanne has done this, is screen sharing. The first time she sent me a screen share invitation, I'm like, how did she figure that out? So she's really dug into this. We did try this on a trial basis within the real estate group. We had a lot of complaints that the treasurer needed to talk to the recorder, but they couldn't get up from their desk, and wouldn't be nice just to type a message. When I asked what the prognosis was and if we should take this away, there was a definite no, we want to keep it. So we all have the ability to use that, and I've encouraged people, if they don't know what it is or need some help with it, just feel free to contact us. But I think it has really helped. Now, that's countywide, so I can send a message to somebody at conservation without picking up the phone.
Right.
So it's really brought us into a better communication circle, I think.
Siri called Barb's cell number or something like that, you know.
It's not voice activated.
And now the picture will actually show up, too.
Well, yes, your picture will show up if you put the picture out there. So, and there has been talk of that, but I hope that's a little bit in the future. Another topic I wanted to talk about, this has really been, I think, successful. We've had a few bumps along the way, but it's the video sharing that we're doing with the county attorney. Initially, and I talked to, I mentioned it last time, the sheriff previously had to burn discs, DVDs, and some of these files, as they're adding more clarity, and as one person said, I wanted to see the color of their eyes, so as they're adding more depth to these videos, they're taking a lot longer to burn. It's not uncommon to have a 30 gig video, which takes 8 hours to burn and 8 hours to download. So what IT has done is we've created an FTP site where the videos, instead of being burned, are automatically loaded up to that site. and then the different attorneys or defenders who need to take a look at that, depending on what their case is, would then, we've created over 52 logins for attorneys to access it. So then they would access the file that shows up when they log in. They don't have access to any other folder. But the one drawback we've had is, number one, people sometimes, well, there's two drawbacks. Sometimes they skip through the instructions a little quickly and they don't read them all, and so they miss some of the little caveats. And I've asked the county attorney's staff that when there is an issue, just directly send it to us, because we don't need to go back and forth. You don't understand what we're going to say, and you don't need to be involved. So Scott has taken those on himself. But the other drawback has been our connection. We've gotten complaints that it's slow. Not much we can do about that. I do have some changes in my next year's budget that will alleviate some of that. The problem that we have is all of this is using a 20-meg connection that we get from Windstream, and we're in contract under that until 2018. So, and when I say 20-meg, I'm of the biggest 15. So we've allocated half of that for this video upload and download. The problem is, if one person is downloading, that's fine, but if three or four are at the same time, they have to share that. So what we'd like to do is increase our fiber connection from Central Iowa Broadband, put the sheriff's office on that, because they're currently sharing that 20-meg connection too. So if they're off of that and onto the fiber, then we can dedicate that whole connection to this video upload download. There may be, we're not sure why Raycom kept them on that. So there may be a reason they're on that, and Iowa's exploring that now to see if the 911 phone system is able to move over to the fiber connection. But that would be one solution. I reached out to other counties, and it seems like the popular method is they all use a cloud-based solution with a Citrix client or something else. So they do it out-of-house. I'd like to keep it in-house if we can, just so we have more control over where those videos are and where they're sent to. So that's, I think that's working well, and we did meet with the public defender here in Nevada last week because he had some questions, and he admitted possibly his connection was a little slow as well. But it was a good meeting. All his questions were answered. And I think that's all it really takes is communication. You know, somebody says this doesn't work, well, why doesn't it work? And if they tell you why, well, here's what you need to do. So I'm really proud of my team, the way they've dug into that. And it was a baby that they developed, and so they have a lot of buy-in, and they're excited, and they want to make it work, and I like to see that. So kind of a side note. But anyway, the last thing I just wanted to update you on, we're completed with the 2016 Microsoft Office updates. We looked at the changes. We were on 2010 before. The differences between the two didn't warrant formal training, but we did place some knowledge-based documents on the intranet in case people had problems, but really it's gone over well. The only department that cannot use this yet is the county attorney, simply because ProLodge is not compatible with that version. So once they get up to speed, then we'll be able to update them. That's my update. Do you have any questions?
Question for Barb.
Yeah.
Barb, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good update. Good job on that.
Absolutely.
Now we're to public forum number two. It's an opportunity for members of the public to address items that are not on today's agenda. The board may not take any action due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody wishing to address us? Okay. Liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne.
Nothing on the liaison assignment, and on the committee update, I don't know if you wanted me to address fall school now or wait till the announcement portion. I can do that either place.
Yeah, let's do that in the announcement.
Okay.
Sounds any good. Committee meeting updates or liaison assignments?
I have been meeting with Keith Morgan at Emergency Management in regards to updating and refreshing disaster policies within the county, and that has dovetailed into a meeting later today with Dr. Jamie Weidert over at McFarland in regards to the status of the Story County Medical Standards Office.
Thank you for taking that on.
Mm-hmm. Funeral director here, I can try to handle that.
Announcements, Wayne, now is the time.
Okay, great. It is truly one of those special moments. You know, when I look back over my 16 years of service, and particularly my role with the Iowa State Association of County Supervisors Affiliate, in which we are the planning entity that comes up with programs to present not only to statewide supervisors, but occasionally we involve other joint departments in addressing issues of common need. This was the last official opportunity for me in this fall school, but it's also important to note that the concept fall school will no longer be the fall school. It will automatically change to the annual conference, and it will be moved up into August rather than currently when it's being presented here. But when we sat down earlier last year and started talking about coming up with speakers that would bring topics to the table that were extremely important to county supervisors statewide, I was able to mention some of the neat things that were happening here in Story County, some of our department heads and what they were basically doing, and some other people kind of picked up on that, and there was an outreach to us in terms of bringing three of our employees to speak before the supervisors group. And for me, it was kind of a special high because I knew personally that Keith Morgan, our emergency management coordinator, and Leanne Harder, who is our special projects and county outreach coordinator, speaking on the topic of continuity of operations planning and talking about KUCOG and how we got there and how other counties could do this would be a slam dunk. They lived up to my expectations. I received so many positive comments from supervisors, auditors, and emergency management personnel that joined in the presentation. And I'm sure that Leanne, when she talked about earlier, work with Maxwell and the staff, there were people that came up to me and said, "Is there any way that you could loan her out to us? We'd like to have her come and present before our supervisors. This is something that we truly do need." And so when both Keith and Leanne presented this, you naturally, as a supervisor in a particular area, feel that adrenaline rush. And the only thing that I'm sorry for, I was so mesmerized by what they were doing, I didn't go back to the back of the room and get my camera to get a picture of it. And so I did send a request to Isaac asking if anyone had a picture so that we could certainly share that. But I would be, this is an opportunity for me to say to you guys and to all of Story County employees, just what a fine example that we have. And I'm going to steal two words that Leanne just mentioned. She said talent and committed people. No truer words could be used to explain what I witnessed during the fall school last week through the presentation of Leanne and Keith. And I know that we're going to hear, and they're going to be receiving all kind of additional questions, follow-up. This will be made available, their presentation, to auditors, supervisors, the emergency management personnel, as we take a look at continuity of operations in the case of a disaster and so forth. This morning when we received this letter that I'm going to ask Supervisor Sanders to read into the record.
Why don't you go ahead and read it?
Well, you sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, this is a letter that came from Keith Morgan to Leanne, and Leanne, this was also CC'd to you prior to the meeting, so you've already had a chance to see it. But I think it's again, the mutual admiration and appreciation for the role that you played in assisting him and the county in where we are as an entity. And so this letter is addressed to Mr. Rick Sanders, Chairman of the Story County Board of Supervisors. It says, "Dear Mr. Sanders, on behalf of Story County Emergency Management and the Iowa Emergency Management Association, I would like to thank you for allowing Ms. Leanne Harder to help present on continuity of operations planning, COOP COG, continuity of government COG, at the Iowa State Association of Counties ISAC Falls Group. Ms. Harder's description of how she guided our county through the planning process for COOP COG provided those attending a framework to conduct this planning and valuable tips on how to tackle some of the difficult issues associated with COOP COG. Her presentation to well over 100 members of the Board of Supervisors, auditors, and emergency management generated significant positive feedback from the audience and requests for more information. The time Ms. Harder invested in the presentation will help counties across Iowa be better prepared for disasters. And sincerely, Keith Morgan. And so I think the letter is extremely appropriate, Keith, in recognizing the role that Leanne assisted you in, but I think it's also equally worthwhile to notice the role that you played as well. And I can tell you as a supervisor, the pride that I had watching you guys present and watching the reaction to those in attendance and the overflow of people wanting to come up afterwards to get further information and how they could utilize the expertise that you presented was truly remarkable. And I wanted the board to take this opportunity to acknowledge both of them for their presentation and their efforts. And a little bit later, I will want to reference Joe Quaker. Joe Quaker was also a presenter on weed control, and he was the final presenter at the session. And we all know that Joe can be quite humorous at times, but he was the perfect closing for that. And he just did a super job. All in all, Keith, I want you and Leanne both to stand, and I want to ask the audience to give these two individuals a round of applause for outstanding presentation leadership in their presentation to the Iowa State Association of Counties. We are so far ahead of the curve in terms of planning. And when Keith talks about other departments and the training that's necessary, I can assure you, and I know that as I leave, that both of you will recognize how it's important that we take the lead in the direction from Keith and others to make sure that we are as prepared as we possibly can be in the event that there's ever a disaster where our continuity of government or our continuity of operations may be impacted in a negative way during the short term. But I can't say enough about how proud I was to be part of witnessing that. And again, I will miss, you know, the ongoing relationships with the two of you as well as many of the other departments. So I'm sure I wish there was some financial thing that we could attach to it. But, you know, we don't do things necessarily for those reasons. We do it for the betterment, not only of Story County, but for the state of Iowa as a whole. And you two are shining examples of what great leaders we have here in Story County. And I want to thank you for stepping up at this time and making us all look good.
Well said, Wayne. Thank you. What was really interesting about that is Keith sent me the letter talking about how what a great job Leanne did, and Leanne sent me an email talking about what a great job Keith did, and it was a mutual admiration society, and it was well-earned. We talk pretty regularly. The Board of Supervisors talks pretty regularly about how fortunate we are here in Story County to have the staff we have from top to bottom. And sometimes I think that falls on deaf ears, and people kind of say, yeah, right, that's just the Board of Supervisors being the Board of Supervisors. It's never more rewarding than when we hear from other supervisors how phenomenal our staff is, how evidently phenomenal our staff is. And it's to the benefit of all the people of Story County. Wayne, what I want you to know is, thanks to your leadership, the last 16 years, we've created a climate and atmosphere where staff is acknowledged for doing a great job, and that, I believe that helps them desire to do a great job. We are in position one in terms of the 99 counties in Iowa. We're in position one when it comes to planning. Things like KUCOG, things like the C2C, we have advanced ourselves to the point, and that is under your direction. You were sitting in this chair those first couple years when we started this process of trying to get to this point, and it is so gratifying to me that as you retire here, you get to see kind of the fruits of those labors that we've completed so many of those things. And so I just want to, in addition to echoing your compliments and thanks to Leanne and Keith and Joe, I want to send them your way as well, because we're not here without you today. So thank you.
Thank you for your kind words.
Other announcements, Marty.
Pretty hard to top you two guys, but I would dovetail on the fact that, Leanne, I appreciate what you have done on my behalf. I guess I came on the board and circumstances were not the best, but I would not be the success that I believe I've been and look forward to having if I had not had your insight and counsel. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. With that, if there's nothing else, I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we'll adjourn. Thank you, everybody. Drew, what time are we supposed to